In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, today, the anniversary, birth anniversary of our Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad. Peace be upon him, and also the birth anniversary of Hazrat Imam Jafar Sadiq upon him. Indeed, it is a great feast for the Islamic Ummah. This occasion, this auspicious occasion to the Islamic Ummah, the Iranian nation, and the honorable audience in this session, particularly the guests and non-Iranian brothers who are attending this session. Secondly, concomitant with the necessity to commemorate and honor the personality of the Honorable Prophet of Islam, we the Muslims have a lot of things to say, to exchange with each other. Among ourselves, we have to study them and investigate them. Because the Prophet of Islam is the teacher of all good, all virtues. He was the teacher of justice, teacher of humanity, teacher of knowledge, teacher of brotherhood. He was a teacher of growth, development, perfection of human beings until the end of history. When mankind can perceive a time when he is needless of these valuable teachings. Today too, like ever, mankind needs the teachings and doctrines of Prophet Muhammad. However, what I would like to mention today in this session of the elite of the Islamic Ummah is the issue of unity and solidarity of the Muslims. Today, the Islamic world and the Islamic Ummah face great problems. It is true that a number of these problems come from within the heart of the Muslim Ummah itself. We have had some shortcomings. We have shown laziness through our selfishness and worldly greeds. We have blocked the way of the Islamic Ummah towards salvation. Some of these problems and a number of these problems stem from ourselves, and we have to return back, we have to move, we have to repent. However, there is no doubt that in recent stages of history, a great chunk of these awarenesses, calamities, problems stem from the wrong international order of yesterday and today. The international system, there is a hegemonic system. It is a system relying on force. It is a system, it is not a system for human life. It is a where the law of jungle prevails. For years, the issue of Palestine have been a deep wound on the body of the Islamic Ummah. They have been remembering it, reminding each other of it. Today, Iraq has been added to it. Just see, the power for the big powers relying on force are doing what they want. All illogical remarks and wrong points are imposed by reliance on force and gun and political and financial power in the form of defendable and logical points in the world. The crimes and offenses which are crimes and offense in the logic of all nations of the world are openly committed by them. Sometimes they just give a label to it in order to just cover up. They know that no one would accept it. Sometimes even they don't designate a name, they don't give it a color. You know, the usurping, occupying regime of Zionism openly announces that it tears the edge of the Palestine, and the U.S. administration openly and officially supports it. This is the situation of today's international order. Terrorism, campaign against which was a pretext for showing power and imposing force by the arrogant United States government, has openly been considered a lawful, legitimate action in the language and action of the Zionist regime and rulers, and all by reliance on force, power of gun, are doing so. The military occupation of Iraq, the military occupation of country, humiliation of a nation, just humiliation of a cultured great nation and occupation of a country, it is a definite crime, offense. It is an international offense, but openly they have done it under various pretexts, like human rights, defense of democracy, defense of liberty, and no one in the world would believe, would accept it. And the behavior of the occupiers in Iraq is exactly contrary to this. They don't respect the human rights of human beings over there. The rights of the people for self-determination is totally neglected. It doesn't have any value for them. They appoint a ruler. They also define the law. They also punish the violators without any trial. And that is the punishment of killing. You just see what is going on in Iraq. This is the condition of Islamic Ummah today. Since the Islamic Ummah is located on a rich point spot of the world, since the move of the will of civilization of the world today is subject to the resources, to access to the resources which are ample in this part of the world, only because of this reason the Islamic Ummah has been attacked by these powers, and they consider any crime lawful for them in order to achieve their objective. This is the situation of Islamic Ummah. Well, can the Islamic Ummah defend itself against these attacks of the powerful countries? The answer is yes, we can defend ourselves. We have a number of tools for defending ourselves, our rights, our existence. We have them at our disposal. We have a great population. We have great riches and wealth and resources. We have outstanding personalities. We have a spiritual asset which grants power to our nation to withstand the power of bully powers We have the history of a civilization and culture which is unique in the world. We have a lot of cities and immunities. Hence, potentially we can defend ourselves. Why do not we defend ourselves? Why practically we can't do anything on the ground realities? Because we are not united, because we are not single hand. Because under various pretexts they have disunited us, segregated us from each other. The orderly disciplined army called Islamic Ummah has been divided into several groups whose main objective is to fight each other, confront each other, fear each other, quarrel each other, squabble each other. Under the circumstances, it is but natural that this army cannot do anything. Today is time for the Islamic world to review the issue of unity and seriously think about it. Today the US threat is not against one country or two countries in the region, is directed against all. Today the threat of the capitalist Zionist capitalists who support the United States government will not confine themselves to swallowing only one part of the region. They want to swallow the entire region and announce it very openly today. The Greater Middle East plan has the same objective. Since half a century ago, when the Zionist usurping government regime was formed, and since 100 years ago when this idea came to the fore in the Western circles and institutions, they had the same objective. They say they want to swallow this region, they want to control it. The people of this region are not important for them. All are threatened by them. When all are threatened, the most rational way is all think, join hands. Our recommendation is, and our eager request to all Islamic government and nations is, think about it. It is difficult. It has some preludes. We have to prepare the prelude. Of course, the enemy will not sit idle. The enemy will utilize all tools of divide and rule. They will just try to take advantage of ethnicism, religious sectarianism. What Islam has done, so that they do not come out, they highlight it. Islam has recommended that ethnicity is not a criteria for personality, for superiority. Verily, the most honorable among you is the most virtuous. Islam recommends that all Muslims should treat each other brotherly. Islam doesn't say the Shias, the Sunnis, or other sects. Islam says the Muslims. Verily, all the believers are brothers. Anybody who believes in this religion, Qibla, book, is believer, all are brothers. This is what Islam has told us. But unfortunately, we hide our swords in our back in order to just injure our brothers. And there are some people who are to blame in all sectors, in all sections. We have to stop them. We have to confront them. Today the Islamic Ummah, for its life, for its splendor, for its redemption, for hoisting the flag of Islam, needs unity. Which logic can confront it and stop it to create disunity and differences? This is prior to all necessities and priorities. It is prior to all of them. Why don't we understand the necessity of unity among Muslims? We don't understand it. Why? It's a great responsibility on our shoulders. This is a very crucial juncture. If the Muslims through imposition of power, succeed to occupy this rigid Islamic world will remain backward for another century, just like during the colonial era. Then the distance between the Islamic world and the modern world and the natural world will be more than 100 years ago. And we are accountable. We have to be just taken to book for that. Today the government said the cultural figures, religious figures are responsible, all of us responsible towards unity of the Islamic world. Our Honorable Imam, peace be upon him, always emphasized on one of the points before the victory of the Islamic Revolution until the last period of his life on the unity. He always used to emphasize on unity as the most important point. Unity among Muslims and that the small problems should not be analyzed. Today we realize and understand that it was a very sagacious recommendation, very correct recommendation. I beseech God that with the blessings of the pure souls of the prophets and the struggles of this unique personality of a human being, of humankind, and this superior figure of the creation, Prophet Muhammad, and also the struggles of Imam Ja'far Sadiq and the labors he took to awaken all of us from the ignorance to our direct path and to areas of our responsibilities and enable us to carry them and to get the Islamic Ummah rid of the vices. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.